Good morning. We are starting today on Ein Zayin Amud Beis. We are in the eighth parak of Yuma. We are continuing our discussion regarding the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. On yesterday's daf, so we went through Makoros in terms of where we know about the other Inuyim, Achil and Shtia. So that was the first daf of the Masech, first daf of the parak, in terms of where we derive all the Inuyim from, specifically for Achil and Shtia. They are the Isuri Daraisa, that's clear. They're subject to Karis if one were to eat and drink intentionally on Yom Kippur, that's also clear. As far as the other Inuim are concerned, so there is no clear-cut source in the Torah itself in terms of how do I know about the other Inuim. As a result of that, the Gemara spends a lot of time, yesterday's daf, going through sources in the Torah about the sourcing for the other Inuim in the Torah. Rechitza, Sicha, Tashmish, Amita, Nila, Sasandal. So these other Inuyim, so where are they coming from? So that was yesterday's daf, Ein Zayin. Yesterday's daf was dedicated to that topic, and as we came out from yesterday, where are the other sources? So scattered throughout Tanakh and not super clear cut. We find Sukkim throughout Navi. Some of them actually from Ksuvim as well. In terms of where exactly the sources for these halachas that the other Inuyim are actually usher. Whether they are an Issa Daraisa, the other Inuyim, on Yom Kippur, so that comes back to a machlokas that we introduced ourselves to at the beginning of the Perek. Tosus Yishanim, the very beginning of the Perek, first Tosus Yishanim in the Perek says, the other Inuyim are not Midaraisa, they're Midarabanan. The psukim that we all brought in, and we spent a lot of time learning, they're a smachta ba'ama, but they're other, they're simply usher Midarabanan. And a good indication that would be true is just the way the Gemara introduced the other Inuyim yesterday. When the Gemara introduced the whole discussion, so the Gemara says, as far as the other Inuyim concerned, is connected me. Corresponds to what? It's a funny way to introduce a discussion. Corresponds to what? Shouldn't the Gemara start off with the discussion of Menale? So good. So that was that's the Tosfos Yerushalmi. The Rambam, on the other hand, is of the position, that the other Inuyim are Asa Midaraisa. It just happens to be that they're not Nisakaris, but they're also Midaraisa. Okay, the question, which we're going to ask a couple times, we already asked it once, but we're going to ask a couple more times, is it really just begs? If in fact the other Inuyim are also Minatara, so how do we arrive at the Heterim? We started yesterday, we're going to continue today. There are a lot of Heterim with the other Inuyim. By Achil and Shtia, there is no Heter. Again, with the proviso that a person has Sekanas Nefashos, so then there's a Heter. But there's a Heter for any Sekanas Nefashos with a couple notable exceptions. So, but with the other Inuyim, even if it's not Sekanas Nefashos, there's still going to be, Heterim for the other Inuyim. So if you hold like the Tosfos Yerushalmi, that's a din derabbanan, so good. Say, hey, mamru, vei mamru. So you understand that they're heterim, because the Isser starts off being as an Isser derabbanan, and now you just simply, the Chachamim just simply gave allowances within their Isser derabbanan. But if you hold like the Rambam, it's an Isser min haTorah, so then it's just a little bit more challenging to understand how it is that you have heterim. But anyway, there are heterim. So yesterday on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, so we started going through the heterim, various heterim that are allowed by rechitza, by sicha. So by rechitza, so what heter do we have? A lot of heterim by rechitza. So let's say you have dirt. So if you have dirt on your face, dirt on your hands, or any part of your body, so you can wash it off. The rechitza, that's also in Yom Kippur, that's rechitza shel tanug. That's only something that's the washing that's specifically for the purposes of pleasure, bathing for pleasure. But when it comes to just simply because you have dirt and you want to wash it off, so you wash your hands. We know in Yom Kippur morning, the Gemara doesn't say this so clear cut, but we know in Yom Kippur morning, so there's a mitzvah to wash your hands every morning. So on Yom Kippur, you wash your hands in the morning in order to remove the ruach ra, in order to the possible dirt that accumulated on your hands overnight. That's the Rosh. The idea that we're brios chadashos every day. That's the Rashba. For whatever reason, we wash our hands in the morning. And Yom Kippur, you also wash your hands in the morning. So yeah, we limit how much we wash in the morning. But you wash your hands in the morning on Yom Kippur. Okay, good. So we know that by Rechitza. So the Gemara told us yesterday that they're hurtam by Rechitza. And Sicha as well. So Sicha yesterday, the Gemara also gave us a heter for Sicha as well. It's not as far-reaching as Rechitza. Rechitza, there are significant heterim by Rechitza. But even yesterday, the Gemara also talked about heterim as it relates to Sicha as well. What's the heter by Sicha? So Gemara yesterday, a person either is a chola, or a person has chatatin, he has like scabs on his on his head, so then he could rub oil into it. So if it's for therapeutic purposes, so then you could do sicha. Okay, it's not as far-reaching as Rechitza, but there's a heter as well. The Gemara also yesterday pointed out another heter as it relates to Rechitza, and that, of course, is a Rechitza of wading through water, right? You want to go see your Rebbe, you want to go guard your field, so you will have a heter. Now, on Yom Kippur, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to wade through water, even if the water is up to your neck, but you weren't going through the water in order to bathe. They were going through the water because you want to get from point A to point B, and you had a good reason to do so. So under those circumstances, that's another heter that we were introduced to yesterday. The Gemara now, in the beginning of today's daf, we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent over here, vis-a-vis wading through water. So let's begin. Maskif la. We are, what is it, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and it's about, it's the second word in the line. So that is where we're beginning this morning. We're just going to pause for a second. Gemara starts off, Maskalar of Yosef of Vecholki, Agav Nimishari. Now, wading through water, is that recommended activity in general? The Gemara says, no, Vaksiv. So over here, we start with a Pasuk in Yechazkel that's describing the stream of water that's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and increasingly grows larger and stronger as it comes out. The Pasuk says, Vayamad Alef Ba'ama V'yavirin B'mayim Mei Afsayim. So the description over here, in the Navi Yechezkel, is basically, as it emerges, it's a really small stream, and then for every 1,000, for 1,000 Amma, it gets larger. Again, larger and stronger. So mikanchim utalavor ad afsayim. So the first 1,000, it's only ankle deep. So you're walking up to your ankles. That's fine. Vayamad alav vayavin b'mayim birkayim mikanchim utalavor ad birkayim. The next phase of this river, as it continues to go flow out, next 1,000 amas, it's going up to your knees. Okay, that's fine. Also, wading through that water is fine. Vayamad alav vayavin may masnayim, and then the next 1,000, it's already up to your waist. But after that point in time, once you're deeper than your waist in the water, so then you can't go by. So now it can't go by. It's dangerous to go by. It would be a sakana. It would pose a sakana to go through the water, to go through a river, a strong current of river. So you're going to get washed away in the river. It's just simply behavior that's not recommended. So the Gemara says, So this is not a Yom Kippur halacha. This is a general halacha. You should don't try to wade through a running river if it's anything deeper than your waist. So I'm Rabbi Yeshani Nachal Deridifi Mai. The Gemara says, okay, but that's a nachal, meaning when you're describing a nachal. So if it's a strong current, so then it would pose a sakana. But over here, we're just talking about wading through a very light current. It's a shallow lake, something like that. A stagnant body of water so that you're allowed to walk through. Yachol yavrin besichli. The Gemara over here now, it's going to turn its attention back to this river that Yechezkel is forecasting, he's prophesizing, that's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's a really strong current. So the Gemara says, we just established that this is an agadic section. I know it sounds halachic, but it's still an agadic section. We just established that you can't wade through the water once it gets too deep because you're just going to get swept away. So yachol yavrin besichli. Okay, so how about swimming across? Maybe you could do that. The Gemara over here is not asking halachically. The Gemara just wants to know if it's too strong for swimming. Tamalomer ki gawa mai me shecho. So mai me shecho shiyuta. So shekain korin lisiyata siyacha. So the Gemara says that no, it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk uses the term meshecho. It's a term that we are not perfectly familiar with. But the Gemara says, yeah, when talking about swimming, that's shayata. Everyone knows the term swimming. So when dealing with swimming, so that is considered that is synonymous with the word shayacha or sayacha, and that's what the pasuk is making reference to. In other words, you can't swim through it. So yachol yavirenu beborni katana haba, a small boat tamalamer bal telech bal bo ani shayat. You can't even go on a small boat. Yachol yavirenu beborni gedola haba, a large boat tamalamer vitzei adir lo yavorna. No, you can't even go with a large boat as well. My mashma kedematargim Rav Yosef lo sazo bay. Bisfina Sayadin. Right? How do I know Sayadin is a reference to a large boat? Because people say, we're going to go in Sfina Sayadin, the boat of the trappers, what we call fishermen. So, Uborni Rabasi Lo Sigozena. Okay, so, and no boat is going to be allowed to pass through it. It's a really strong current. I'm Rav Yehuda Ben Pazi, Af Malach HaMavis, In Lecha Roshus La Avor Besocha. So it's good that I introduced it as Agarata. Now you understand. we're talking about the Malcham Avis. How did that get involved? Because this is a Agaric section. So the Malcham Avis can also not traverse through this river. So Ksiv Hacha Baltilech Bo, Anishayer, Ksiv Hasa Meshot Ba'aretz. A description of the Malcham Avis in the Psukim Neov is that he is wandering, he's floating through the throughout the land. Okay. The Amar of Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipora Me'ena Yotzei Me'beis Kachay Hakadoshim B'tchila Dom LeKarnech Hagavim. So once again, the Gemara goes through a little more description of this river that's coming out of the Kodesh Hakadoshim. So at the beginning, it's going to be looking like the legs of a grasshopper, really thin, really narrow. Kevin Shigila Pesach Heichal. Now once again, to the entrance of the Heichal. So Nasa Kechut Shel Shasi. It now looks like it looks like a loom, specifically the vertical of the loom. We're never discussing the loom. So again, as little as I know about a loom, and it's pretty minimum, but there is a vertical, there's a horizontal, right? One is a warp and the other is a woof, and I never remember which one's which, but anyway, there's a vertical and the horizontal, huh? You know, right? The warp is a vertical. So throughout Shas, the Gemara always assumes that the vertical is narrower, it's thinner than that of the horizontal. So so when it comes out, the next 1,000 amma, it is not. I'm sorry, not the next 1,000 amma. This is really this is at the beginning stages of this really, really thin river. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was the legs of grasshopper. So you're talking about a trickle. At the entrance of the Heichal, it's a chut shel shasi. So it's the vertical of the loom. Kim shegiya le'ulam nasi kechut shel erev. And then you get to the entrance of the ulam, and it's now the size of an erev. That's the horizontal of the loom. So it's going to be the size of pach katan, just the opening of a jug. So it's at this point in time, at its really early stages, it's really narrow. V'hainu dinan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, this is the Mishnah Midos, as we are now turning to the top of Ayin Chesem at Aleph. Mayim mipachin atidim lios yotzi mitachas miftan abayis. So water, mipachin, that's the jugs that we just described. So eventually in the future are going to come out from the threshold of the house. Mikan ve'elech ayem zikabar v'ola, asher megi ala pesach beis David. And now continues to keep going till you get to Beis David. Kevin shemegi ala pesach beis David. Nase kenachal shotev. Shebo rochzim zavim v'zavos nidos v'yoldos. So now it's deep enough where basically you could use it as a makeshift mikvah, right? I say use it as a makeshift mikvah. Probably it is more in line with a ma'ayan, right? A natural wellspring. But regardless, it's at that point in time that you could tovel your whole body in it. Shabbat rochsen, zavim, vizavos, nidos, yoldos, anyone who needs a tahara can use it as a makam of tahara. Shenem rabbi yamahu yamakor niftach lebeis David, uli yoshve Yerushalayim lechatas uli nida. So over here, quoting a pasuk from Zechariah, also describing this river that in the future will emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So once you're at this point, once the river is past Beis David, so now it is deep enough where basically you could tovel in it. I'm Rav Yosef Mikan Remez Lanidah Shetzrich Aleishiv Ad Savara B'mayim. So, and Rav Yosef says, okay, now we have a Remez. How deep does a mikvah have to be? Now, we're not asking the question. Took me a little bit to wrap my head around this Gemara. We're not asking the question right now in terms of how much should a mikvah contain, how much water should it contain. We know the answer to that. The Gemara gives us that answer all the time. When it comes to a mikvah, so it needs memsah, it needs 40 sah of water, enough water so that your whole body can go and be submerged at one time. Now, what the Gemara is really asking is that how deep should a mikvah be? So that when you go in, it's up to what part of your body. Now, the answer really is, just in principle, it doesn't have to be that deep at all. Meaning, it could be a bathtub. Now, I'm just talking about the dimensions. I'm not talking about the actual structure. In other words, as long as, if you're lying down horizontally, and as long as all the water is covering every part of your body at the same time, that would be sufficient as well. Is there a requirement whatsoever that the mikvah be a certain height? Or can you configure the height and the length to any configuration as long as it covers all the body? That's what the Gemara is dealing with right now. So as long as now we are describing this river, and as long as we've stated clearly that this river can be used as mayim hatahorim, so right, either mikvah or mayan. So now Rav Yosef says, so I have a remez. So at this point in time, you're basically up to your neck in water. So can we derive from here a halacha that anytime you go into the mikvah, it has to be up to your neck? Okay, that's Rav Yosef's derivation. And the Gemara says, you know what? Rejection. The Gemara says, V'leisil chasakavasei. The halacha does not follow like Rav Yosef, meaning there is no requirement that you have to be up to your neck in the mikvah. It could easily be the case where the mikvah will be shallower, but again, it'll be longer, and you'll just have to lie down, but there's no requirement that the mikvah necessarily has to be neck deep when you go in. Okay. Yeah, correct. It's just right. It's a lot easier if it's neck deep. Okay, we are on Ein Chesem and Aleph. We are now finished with the beginning, a Gadak section of the Gemara today. And now we go back to Halacha. You see that this section of the Gemara starts off with the parentheses. So you see it's in parentheses, which means we skip it. Rashi also had this Girsa, and Rashi also says remove the Girsa. So we're going to be starting immediately after the parentheses. We are now the last narrow line towards the top. Shabbos Ika Minal Mai. Okay, now on Shabbos. So what would be the halacha in terms of a shoe? What is Gemara asking over here? Rashi. So Mishari la'avor b'mayim odilma chayshin odilma nafke mikarev ase le'isuyina. So the question over here is as follows. Now, on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to wade through water. On Yom Kippur, you're not wearing shoes. Okay, you're not wearing shoes at all on Yom Kippur? Stay tuned. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. Today's daf is going to be discussing non-leather shoes on Yom Kippur. So, but that's coming up a little bit later on. So on Shabbos, so we know that you are allowed to wear shoes. We also know on Shabbos that, again, like we just described on Yom Kippur, I'm not swimming in the water. I'm just simply wading through the water in order to get from point A to point B, and that's perfectly fine. And it's not a violation of Rechitza vis-a-vis Inui on Yom Kippur. And on Shabbos, it would be fine as well. You're going to get wet. Okay, that's fine. In other words, that's incidental. That's not considered bathing on Shabbos. The problem on Shabbos, however, the Gemara says is the following. You are wearing shoes, and are we concerned, are we worried that the shoes are going to fall off, and you're going to end up picking it up and carrying it within a Rishus Rabbim that you're currently in? That's the Gemara's question, right? Again, the second time I referenced, we went rafting recently up in Georgia. It was wonderful. Anyway, so they told us very clearly that you have to wear shoes that actually are strapped to your feet. I mean, in other words, they're water shoes, but... Right, they have to be strapped to your feet. Very easy for the shoes to fall off. Good. Most of my kids listened. Okay, not all of them. So anyway, so Amar Nechemya, Chasan Debe Nesia. So Ana Chazisa LeRabbi Amir VeRavasi Dematu Urkama Demaya. So the Gemara quotes the son-in-law of the Be Nesia, and he says that I saw Rabbi Amir VeRavasi, and they were wading through the river. VeAvru Derech Ma'apush, and they were totally dressed while they were wading through the river. So in other words, it's fine. So Tenach Minel Sanda Michael Amemer. So the Gemara says fine. So if we're talking about a minel, that's a shoe that straps to your feet. That I totally understand. That's perfectly fine. It's not going to come out. But what if you're wearing a sandal? So a sandal, much like a sandal nowadays. So it's not totally strapped to your feet. I mean, there are straps attaching it to your feet, but obviously not as secure as a minel. What's the story with a sandal? So I'm Rav Rechumi Ani Chazisa LeRavina Dava Derech Ma'abush. So Rav Rechumi says that I saw Ravina, and he was dressed, and presumably the proof is predicated on the fact that he was wearing a sandal, and that would have been, and that was fine as well. Rav Ashi Amar Sandal Lechatchila Lo. Rav Ashi says no, that a sandal Lechatchila one shouldn't do it. Okay, Bidi Evan. Okay, it's fine. Now I'm not sure what Bidi Evan means in this case over here, meaning right the if you did it without asking or without being knowledgeable, We don't typically describe that as bidyevet, but okay. I guess that's the scenario of bidyevet anyway. But Rav Ashi is not in favor of going through a river on Shabbos with sandals. Again, the concern is the sandals are going to fall off and you're going to end up picking them, carrying them in Dal Amos. Reish Galusa Ikle Lehagrunya Lebei Rabbi Nasan. The Gemara follows it up with the following story. Reish Galusa goes to Agrunya, to the house or the yeshiva Rabbi Nasan. Rafram Bukula Rabban Nasan Lepirka. So everyone's going to Shir, meaning the Reish Galusa. Now, back in the day, the Reish Galusa was a political position. Sometimes he was a Talmid Chacham, sometimes he was not a Talmid Chacham. It was mainly a political position. So, okay, so now you have the Amoraim. So most understand that it's the Reish Galusa. You go to Shir, right? He may not be the biggest Talmid Chacham. It really doesn't matter. Okay, but say he went to Shir. Ravina didn't go to Shir. Ravina Loasa. So Lamacha by Rav from La Afukala Ravina Medaita the Reish Galusa. So now... somebody was slighted. And when I say somebody, I mean the Reish Galusa was slighted. And so now a conversation ensues between Raphram and the Reish Galusa. Raphram now was going to try to explain how come it is that Ravina didn't go this year. Attendance was taken, okay, and the Reish Galusa was totally aware of the fact that not everyone came. Ravina didn't come. So Amarle my time alo asa mar lepirka. So the question, very pointed, very simple. He didn't come to shir. Why didn't he come to shir? So Amarle avikavle kare. So he says, okay, the excuse has started. Okay. This is unfortunately a big part of my job. So the excuse has started. So so he says, well, his foot was hurting. So Ibaila the Masani, so the Reish Galusa says, I got this great idea. It's called shoes. So why doesn't he put on shoes? So Gava Dikari Hava. No, it's not a pain on the bottom of his foot, it's a pain on the top of his foot. So Ibaila the Masandala. Okay, so not shoes. How about sandals? Sandals are not going to hurt the top of your foot. So Amalei Urkama Demaya Hava Ba'Urche. So he says, well, in order to get to Shir, he had to walk through a river. He can't do that. So Ibailach Lemavra Derech Mabush. What do you mean? You could wade through the water. You're allowed to. We just learned the Heter, not only on Yom Kippur, Heter on Shabbos as well. You're allowed to wade through the water in order to get from point A to point B. It's perfectly fine. So Amalei Lo Savar Lamar Lahad Amar Ravashi Sandal Chatchila Lo. So finally he says to the Reish Galusa, yeah, but remember Ravashi? Ravashi says that ideally one is not allowed to wear sandals while wading through the river. Shoes are fine. Sandals are more problematic because they may fall off. And over here, right, we subscribe to Ravashi over here, and that's what prevented him from coming. Okay. Unclear whether that was the real reason, that was just an excuse provided, but as long as it is a legitimate excuse, it backs up the halacha that we just said, that according to Ramashi, one is not allowed to walk through a current of water while wearing sandals, and the concern, clearly concern of the Amoraim. It was whether it was the truth, I don't know. Whether it was a valid excuse, it is a valid excuse. Tini Yehuda Bar Groger is also Leishiv Agabi Tina B'Yama Kippurim. Okay. We move along. Now we're going to go in the other direction that we've gone now for the past day. The past day in the Gemara, the trend is that they're heterim with the other inuyim. So when talking about rechitza and sicha and tashmish amita but rechitza sicha and nilas asandal. So we just went through a lot of heterim on Yom Kippur regarding these other activities, and we're going to go through more. But now we're going to move in the other direction. A couple of chumras, really interesting chumras when it comes to specifically rechitza. Okay, so this one's interesting. So the Gemara starts off with a statement by, it sounds like a brisa. So Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Grogris, also Leishev Agabitina Miyam Kippurim. So you can't sit in mud on Yom Kippur. Now mud. Rashi writes over here very clearly. So Agabitina, Shelich Lechatid Have Oneg Karav Lerechitza. So the moisture of the mud, so that's water. And on a hot day, where Yom Kippur can be really hot, I mean, here in Florida for sure, but in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Kippur can be really hot. So if you're in the cool mud, so granted, of course, that it's dirty, but at the same time, however, the moisture is cooling. And so this is, now Rashi's language is karov l'rechitza. It's pretty close to washing. So it sounds like from Rashi, right, it's hard to really get too much out of those few precious words of Rashi, but it sounds like from Rashi that it's not rechitza mamish, but it's close enough, and so basically it sounds like a gzeira derabanan, something along those lines. Again, I'm not perfectly sure if I'm saying over Rashi correctly, but it's Rashi does use the language of karav lerechitza.
Is that pleasure
or is it? Rashi says it. I mean,
is it pleasure or
being
getting
ready? Rashi says have a oneg karav lerechitza. Rashi describes it as a pleasure. It's really hot. You're cooling off. Okay, so the Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Vitina Mitpachas. Now the mud has to be moist. I mean, in other words, for this gzera to take effect, it has to be moist. Amar Rabbi Uvetofech Hamanas Latfiach. Yeah, how moist? So enough so that when you sit in the mud, then when somebody comes into contact with you, they'll feel the moisture. Right? It's a shear of moisture that we generally, the Gemara generally throws out in terms of coming to some sort of operational definition of what moisture is, of what wet is. Amar Rav Yehuda Mutalit Sanim Beperos. The Gemara says, okay, so cooling down in the mud, so you can't do that in Yom Kippur. But if you want to use other items to cool yourself off, right? This is just slightly before air conditioners came about. So the Gemara says fruit. Fruit is a fantastic way to cool yourself off. Right. Imagine taking ice and putting it on. So again, they didn't have ice back in the day. So you take a cool fruit and you use that to cool yourself off. I'm not really sure the proper method of cooling yourself off in fruit, but never seen it. Okay, so I can only, you know, I can only be creative over here. Rav Yehuda Mitzdarin Bekara. Rav Yehuda would cool himself off using gourds. Again, the vegetable typically was a little bit cooler than the outside temperature. Fine. And Rav Mitzdarin Beyunuka. Okay, over here, I don't want to get too creative, but children had a cooler temperature. He would cool himself down. Okay, not really sure how it works. I'm not really sure how their body temperature is cooler. Not fully understanding it. I'm just admitting it. But anyway, okay, another method. Rava Mitzdanein Bekasa Dekaspa, a silver cup. So a silver cup is cooler, and again, in a really hot day, he would just simply apply to a part of his body, and it would cool him down. Amra Papa Kasa Dekaspa Male Aser Chaser Share. So Rav Papa makes the following distinction. Gersa, in terms of who said it, it's either Rav or it's Rav Papa. Either way, if the cup is full, no. If the cup is empty, then it's mutter. And now De Pachra Idivi Idi Aser. Now, if the cup is made of earthenware, so it's going to be Aser. Mishum De Mishchal Shachil. Because when it comes to earthenware, we know that the earthenware is extraordinarily porous. And we know that the liquid is going to go through the earthenware. And so therefore, when you're putting it on you, you're really coming into contact with the liquid. And again, we're talking about Yom Kippur, and that's a rechitza, and that you're not allowed to do. Okay, so Rav Papa, or Rav Ashi, again, Girsa in terms of who said it, Amar Kasa de Kasba Chaser, Nami Aser, Mishum de Mida Rev. Now, if it's a silver cup, and it's not full, but it's got some liquid in it, that also is going to be Aser. Why? So the way Rashi presents it over here is because it's going to spill out. And the liquid's going to spill out, land on you. And again, that's a form of rechitza.
What's the problem with a silver cup if it's empty? I mean, it's like a walking in an air-conditioned room.
No, the silver cup, the Gemara says, is fine.
Yeah, but what would be the other meaning that it's not fine?
The Gemara is just making a distinction between empty and full. Okay. Ziri Barchama Ushpizichnan. So Riziri Bar Chama hosted, and he hosted a bunch of Amoraim, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Kula Rabbanan, the Kesari. Okay, so he hosted a lot of the Chachamim. So Hava Amar Le, Rabbi Yosef Berei, the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Bar Aryeh, and Rabbi Yosef's, and he says to Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Bar Aryeh, you're the son of the lion, right? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, one of the preeminent Amoraim of Chachme Eretz Yisrael. So he's now talking to his son. He says, look, so I will tell you some amazing things that was done by your father. In other words, some halachas that your father taught over, actually put into practice. Here's an example. Mitpachas hayolo be'erev yom ha'kipurim, v'shara osa b'mayim v'osa osa kimin kelim neguvim. So what he would do is that on Erev Yom Kippur, he would soak a towel, shmata, and he would wring it out before Yom Kippur. Ulamachem avre al gabe einav. And then the next day, what he would do is he would just simply put it on his eyes, and it would basically be washing without violating the isser of rechitza. Ki asa, take out the word v'chein. Ki asa ravin bar mari amar be'erev tishabav mevin lo mitpachas v'shoros obemayim. Uminicha tachas merchosav. And on tishabav, so they would bring a shmata, they would soak it in water, they would leave it under his head, and he would wash the next day his mouth, his face, and his feet. His face, hands, and feet. And again, on Yom Kippur, same procedure, but with the notable exception that on Yom Kippur you would first wring it out before Yom Kippur. And the next day you would just simply put it over your eyes. So Amalei Rav Yaakov le Rav Yirma bar Tachlifa Ipcha Amartlan Vosfina Schita. I'm so happy that you presented this information to me in the manner that you did. That before Yom Kippur you rang it out, and before Tisha B'Av you didn't ring it out. Meaning that on Yom Kippur there's an extra consideration. On Tisha B'Av you just simply have the Inuyim. All the Inuyim that apply in Yom Kippur apply in Tisha B'Av as well. So on Tisha B'Av, even though there's no Isser or Malacha on Tisha B'Av, but on Tisha B'Av you of course have Inuyim. So on Tisha B'Av, where the only consideration is Inuyim, so the only concern is that I can't bathe on Tisha B'Av. But to use a shmata that has just a little bit of moisture in it, and to dab it on your eyes, and it happens to be also on your feet, on your hands, so that's perfectly fine. It's not rechitza. You're not violating rechitza, and that's fine. On Yom Kippur, however, there's obviously another consideration that, of course, is chita. What you can't do is you can't take a totally wet shmata because you may come to wring it out, and that's going to be an isser of chita. So, because, again, Yom Kippur, Shabbos are the same in terms of the isuri malacha. So now, the way you presented it, it makes perfect sense. Because for the Yom Kippur shmata, he would wring it out before Yom Kippur. Okay, and now, yes, it's got a little bit of moisture in, but we're not concerned about schita because it was already pre-rung before Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av, you don't need to wring it out because, again, there's no issur of schita. Now, the way I heard the story from others is that it was reversed, that it was the pre-Tisha B'Av shmata that was wrung out and the pre-Yom Kippur shmata that was not wrung out. That's a version I heard, and I didn't understand that version at all. And I was screaming out, v'osvinach schita, and I just simply didn't understand it. But your version makes a lot more sense. Good. I'm happy I got your version. Amar Rav Menashe bar Techlifa, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Shalu es Reb Elazar hazakein, v'yoshev b'yeshiva, tzarech lito v'shos l'hatir b'choros o'ein tzarech. So we're going to start off first with a question that was asked to Reb Elazar hazakein. And the question has nothing to do with our discussion, and we're only going to be spending a couple lines with this question, and the only reason why we're asking this question is simply because it will be a springboard to the next question. Not really a springboard, but the next question is relevant to our discussion. So let's first sit on the first question. The first question is that you have the knowledge to be Matir Bechor. You have a firstborn animal that's born into your flock, so it is going to have Kedushas Bechor if you're living post-Beis HaMikdash, so that's going to be a significant problem. It does go to the Kohen. The Bechor is one of the Manos Kahuna. On the other hand, what do you have to do? Just simply let it wait until it develops a blemish. And only then can the Kohen shecht it and eat it. Prior to that, the Kohen is not allowed to shecht and eat it. And you just have to wait. The problem can be avoided altogether. We saw this in the beginning of Masechtas Becharos, the Gemara, Daf Beis or Daf Gimel, one of those two, but it was really early on in the Masechta, where basically what you do is you get non-Jewish partnership in your flock, in your animals, and then the first one that comes out is not going to have the Kedushas Bechor. Okay, that's the exemption of Yad Akum, as long as you have shareholders of a non-Jew. But if you don't have that, so the firstborn animal is now going to be a Bechor. It's going to get a blemish. It has to get the blemish naturally, organically. You cannot put the blemish in the animal. And now, as you're waiting for the animal to get a blemish, now the problem is that what is a blemish? It has to be a mum kavu. It has to be a permanent blemish. Who's going to make that determination? You need an expert. So this is a postdoctorate degree in determining the animal to be blemished. Remember the Gemara described Rav? Rav spent 18 months on the farm going over the biology, anatomy of an animal, and in order to be able to properly diagnose what is considered a mum. So over here, good. So you now have the knowledge base. So you got your postdoctorate. You now know how to be mater mum. The question now becomes the following: before practicing, do you have to? And I'm using modern terminology. Do you have to be licensed? Okay. Do you have to go now to the Beis Din HaGadol and get rishus from them in order to be able to practice? That's the question. So, Rishus Lahatir Bechor, so Ein O Tzarech. So, my Kami Bailu, so the Gemara says, now, let's understand this question a little bit better. So, Kami Bailu, Ki Adam Rav Idi Barav and Davar Zei, Nicholam, Labe Nisia, Kedeli is Gadabo, so Tzarech Lito Rishus, O Dilma Kevin de Zakim Yoshe B'Yeshiva, Ein Tzarech. So, on one hand, we do have to give kavod of the Nasi, right? The Nasi is a position, right? It is the leadership position, right? Rabbi Yehuda was a nasi, it was a leadership position, and so in order to provide kavod for the bein nasius, so basically, even though you have the knowledge base, you have the postdoctorate, but nevertheless, you go and you have to ask the nasi in order to actually be able to paskin. On the other hand, you're a member of Beis Din, right? You're a zakin v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Zakim v'yoshev b'yeshiva, Rashi says over here, that means that you're a member of Beis Din. So over here, by virtue of the fact that you're a member of Beis Din, that already provides you the necessary licensing in order so that now you can go ahead and practice. So that's the question. So Amar Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka, Al Raglava Amar, Ani Ra'isi Es Rabbi Yossi, Ben Zimra, Shezakim v'yoshev b'yeshiva haya. So he says, I'm telling you what I saw. I saw Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. He was a Zakim Yosef Yeshiva. He was a member of Beis Din. And Va'omid b'mal mezikno shels there. And meanwhile, he went on the steps of this. He was pointing to the Nasi. V'nata rishos lati b'charos. And he had to get permission. So, okay. So the answer very clear. You need to get permission. Okay. Amar lei Rabbi Abba lo kach haya maisa. Ela kach haya b'maisa. So he says, I would like to correct you. And that is Rabbi Yosef ben Zimri, Kohen Haya, V'hachi kami baile. I don't think the question was a question of, if you're a member of Beis Din, do you still need to get rishus from the Nasi in order to be able to paskin on a mum? I don't think that was the question. The question was as follows. You're a Kohen. Can you paskin on a mum? So halachik rameir, damar achash b'davar lo dana v'lo me'ido. Does halacha fall like rameir? This is a machlokas in the Gemara in Becharos, and the Mishnayos in Becharos. According to Rabbi Meir, if you are in fact a Kohen, you cannot paskin, you cannot paskin on a balmum, on a behema balmum, not if it's yours, not if it's somebody else's. You can't paskin on your own, obviously, because you have a bias. You can't paskin on others, because according to Rav Meir, once you can't paskin on your own, you can't paskin for others as well. And Odama Allah Yerushim and Gamliel, Damar, Neman Hu, Al Shal Chaver, Veino, Neman, Al Shal Atzmo. Or does Allah Falak Rishim and Gamliel, who says that a Kohen cannot paskin on his own animal, which is a Bechor, again, for the biases that he has, but he can paskin on other Kohanim's animals, again, assuming, of course, that he has a knowledge base. So, Upashaleh, Allah Kareb Hashem and Gamliel, and he says, Allah is like Rabbi Hashem and Gamliel. Okay, that was all by way of tangent. Okay, it was only because we want the second question, does this Gemara come up over here? Fine, so in the tangent, a discussion whether you have the knowledge base to paskin on a Baal Mum, you know what is considered a physical blemish, what's a Baal Mum Kavua, what's a permanent physical blemish. It just happens to be that because of either the consideration that you did not get Rishus from the Nasi, or because you are a Kohen and you can't Paskin on your own, so because of other considerations, maybe you are going to be prohibited from Paskining on a Bechor Baal Mum. Okay, that's all a tangent. Now we come back to our discussion. The second question that was posed to Rebbe Lazar HaZaken is what interests us right now, and that is non-leather shoes, right? Sandal Shel Sha'am. Sandal Shel Sha'am, you take a look at the top Rashi on our Amud Beis, we turn to the top of Ayin Chesam and Beis. Min Guma Shekorin. All right, so it's basically a shoe made out of reeds. Okay, the original, right? The original rubber shoes, right back, right? Straw. Okay, so a shoe made out of reeds. Are you allowed to wear that in Yom Kippur? Okay, so again, let's first not assume that we know the answer, right? On Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, so on the days where we don't wear leather shoes, we wear any shoes that are not leather. Okay, and of course, because our shoes are a blend of both, so then you're right. Shilas abound in terms of, well, this part's leather, this part's not leather. Good, but right now, let's dismiss our, you know, our assumptions of what we think we know what the halacha is. Right now, the Gemara wants to know. The Mishnah says, of the five inuyim, wearing shoes is usur. So is that limited to leather shoes, or does that extend to other shoes as well? That was the question that was posed to Rav Elazar HaZaken. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Al Raglav, Amar, Ani Reisis, Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Shiyatza B'Sandal Shosham, Yama Kippurim, V'Amin Alei B'Tanit Tzibar Mai. So he says, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. He was wearing a Sandal Shosham. He was wearing these shoes made out of reeds. And he was doing so on Yom Kippur. I asked him, can we do so on a Tanit Tzibar? Can we do so on a public fast day? Right, public fast day, when the Gemara discusses public fast days, it's talking about fast days that were instituted because of a lack of rain. Okay, so, and can we wear shoes under those circumstances? These reed shoes on those, under those circumstances. So Amr Le Loshna. And he says that, it's no different, it's fine. So in the beginning, so the first point that Gemara makes regarding shoes is that if it's a shoe made out of reed, that is not going to be a violation of inui, meaning it does not provide the enough comfort in which it's a violation of the Isser Inui of Ne'ilah Sasanda. The Gemara continues with this discussion. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Ani Reisis Rabbi Elazar Demin Ninveh Shiyatza B'Sandal Shosham B'Tanit Tzibur. So he went out with the Rishu on Tanis Tibor. I asked him, on Yom Kippur, what's the halacha? Amalei lo shtani, he says it's fine. Just like it's fine in Tanis Tibor, it's fine in Yom Kippur as well. Rav Yehuda nafak b'dehitnei, Abai nafak b'dehutzei. So the Gemara tells various Amarayim and what kinds of shoes they went out with. So Rav Yehuda went out with hitnei. Rashi describes also a reed shoe. Abai goes out with hutzei. Again, it's made out of the palms of a palm tree. So Rava nafak b'devile. Okay, and some shoe made out of grass. Rava bar Rahuna karich sudra akare v'nafeg. Rava Rahuna wrapped his shoes in what seems to be something like silk, and he goes out with that. Okay, so in other words, basically, everyone's figuring out a way to insulate, to protect your feet, but at the same time not violating the Isser of Nila Sasando. Meisav Rami bar Chama hakite yotze b'kafshalo, div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi Oser. Okay, so a discussion taking us all the way back to Masechta Shabbos. So you have an amputee. He's missing a foot. And now he's got some sort of prosthetic. He's got a... It was basically a wooden block. I call it a wooden shoe, but whatever. It's a wooden block. It's a peg leg that he's wearing now as a prosthetic. And the question is, on Shabbos, can he go out with it on Shabbos? Is it considered a malbush or is it not considered a malbush? So if it's considered a malbush, so then you can walk out with it. If it's not considered a malbush, you can't walk out with it. Okay, so a discussion to be had. So according to Rav Meir, it's mutter, and according to Rav Yossi, it's going to be usser. Rashi writes over here regarding the shita of Rav Yossi. Look at the Rashi. It's fourth line down. Kasavar lav min al hu. According to Rashi, it's not a shoe. Hove enu shava b'chol. Since it is not something that is standard, not everybody wears it, obviously only for the person who needs an amputee, so therefore it does not qualify as a shoe. Let's pause in the Rashi for just a moment, run back to the Gemara, because we need the supplemental brisa. So again, a machlokus atanayim, whether you can walk out with the prosthetic on Shabbos, machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Now, tini Allah, back to the Gemara. On this v'shavim shasal atzis babi Yom Kippur, you can't go out with it on Yom Kippur. Okay, so the supplemental brisa to the Mishnah tells us that on Shabbos there are those who are matir. On Yom Kippur, nobody's matir. Now, go back to the Rashi. Rashi says, so what do you see over here? Nobody allows it on Yom Kippur. We're going to pick it up right where we left off from the Rashi. Ve'afil hachi shavim shasal atzis babi Yom Kippur alma. Af agav de la Rabbi Yossi lav minalu afilo hachi aser v'huadin l'chol sha'am l'shel sha'am. So over here, here's the argument. Here's the thought process as Rashi presents it. Look, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not a shoe. It's not a shoe. I know that because on Shabbos you can't go out with it. And meanwhile, on Yom Kippur, they both agree. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi both agree that you can't wear it on Yom Kippur. So what is that telling us? That on Yom Kippur, you can't wear non-shoes. Meaning, because according to Rav Yossi, it doesn't qualify as a shoe. And on Yom Kippur, they both agree you can't wear it. So that means to say that you can't wear non-shoes. The classic definition of a shoe is a leather shoe. And these other makeshift shoes that we've been describing. Reed shoes. Shoes that you wrapped yourself up in some sort of handkerchief. So even though they're not classic shoes, but we just put together a Mishnah and a Braisa, and we just arrive at the conclusion that you can't wear non-shoes on Yom Kippur. That's what it seems to be. All this obviously serves as a problem. So Amar Abaye Hasam de Isbe Ketitim Umishim Tanug. So Abaye says, well, you have to understand, it's not that the wooden prosthetic goes directly on the stump, but rather there's cushions over there. And basically because of the cushioning, so it serves as a tanug. To which the Gemara says, wait one second, Amalei Rava, V'ilav Manahu, Ketita Mashvalei Mana. So a lot of questions. Number one, so it's not a kli, and then you put in cushions, and then it becomes a kli. The cushions make it a kli. That's very difficult. Number two, V'od kol tanug lav minah lo b'yom kippur mi aser. So, and on top of that, let's say it is pleasurable. Look, for Yom Kippur, what comes out to be aser is really defined. And limited to the inuim that were enumerated in our Mishnah. So just because it's more comfortable doesn't mean that it's going to be aser. So, Rava bar Rav Huna who karach sudra akarei v'nafik. right? Rava Baravuna would wrap his feet in some sort of cloth, in some sort of handkerchief, and it makes him more comfortable. It's on Yom Kippur, it's not comfort which is defining what's us and what's mutter. On Yom Kippur, the Issa V'Heter is defined by Chachmei Yisrael and our Mishnah in terms of what the Inuyim are. So just because it's a little bit more comfortable doesn't mean it's us, sir. So look at the end of the Brisa. Now, we didn't know this before, but the Gemara now treats us to the end of the Brisa. And that is that if it has a base kibble, if the prosthetic has a toch, if it has an insert, and you put in ketitim, and you put in, something soft and absorbent, so then tamei. Mechal de reisha la b'de, it's like ketitin askinan. Which means that the first part of the Mishnah, it didn't have the spongy absorbent portion. So Ella Amar Rav Lolam Dekula Amar Minahu Uvishabes Baha Pligi. So Rav says, look, it's a shoe, meaning the prosthetic is in fact viewed as a shoe. The first way we presented the machlokas is that they were debating whether it is a shoe or it isn't a shoe. That's the first way we presented it. Rav says, scratch that. Rav says, no. The new way we're going to present it, the correct way to present it, according to Rava, is that it is a shoe. The prosthetic is a shoe. And now the question becomes the following. And it's now just a simple question of, look, unlike a shoe which is not going to fall off, typically, so the Chachamim, we're not concerned that it's going to fall off and you're going to pick it up. But when it comes to a prosthetic which is tenuously connected to the stump, so are the Chachamim concerned that it may fall off and you may end up carrying it? Meaning the starting point is that it is a malbush, it is a shoe. And it's now just a question of, are the Chachamim concerned that maybe you're going to end up carrying it dal amos in Erish Yosef Rabin?
How is he going to walk?
With one leg? Okay, fair. It's a fair question. I assume somehow he'll make his way across. Okay. Let's do one more section for today's daf, Tanur Rabbanan. Okay. Tinokus mutarim bekulin chutz minila sasanto. So as far as a child is concerned, now later in the Masechta we're going to talk about the chinuch of a child in order to get them accustomed to fasting. Okay, fasting. We just went through a fast yesterday, so fasting is not easy. Now I tell my kids, right? As you get older, it's going to get easier. Okay, it's true. Meanwhile. So you got to get them into the habit. So we're going to talk later in this perek, right? 12 years of age, 11 years of age. Gemara is going to give us parameters in terms of when the chinuch of starts for fasting. However, the mission over here is talking about the other inuyim and children, and obviously, by the way, Tashma Shemitah is not in this discussion. In terms of rechitza, in terms of sicha, in terms of ne'ilas asandal. So what can a child engage in on Yom Kippur? The answer is most everything. So Tanur Rabbanan Tinokus Mutarim Bekulan Chutz Minilas Asandal. So a child can do Rechitza and can do Sicha, but cannot do Nilas Asandal. Right? Children should not go out with shoes on Yom Kippur. Now Maishna Nilas Asandal Da Amri Inshi Avdele. So the Gemara now wants to know what's the chiluk? Like why should that be? Meaning what possible reason would the Chachamim be more machmir when it comes to Nila Sasando over Rechitz and Sicha? Now again, if the child has arrived at the age of Chinuch, so then for training purposes, obviously the child should practice the Inuyim of Rechitz and Sicha, Nila Sasando, in order to properly train for when he becomes a Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Obviously. However, over here we're talking about where it's a young child, not yet at the age of Chinuch. So then what difference would there be between Nilas Asandal versus Rechitza and Sicha? So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara suggests, the Gemara tries out one pshat, and that is, well, maybe Nilas Asandal Amri Inshi Avdelei. You know what people are going to say? People are going to say, somebody put the shoes on the kid. Excellent question. I'll get to that. So Hanach Nami Amri Inshi Avdelei Rechitza V'Sicha. So, okay, but if you see the child now all clean on Yom Kippur, or all lathered up in oil on Yom Kippur, people are going to say the same thing. So, Amar me esmo abdilei. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what people will say? Oh, yeah, okay, well, you have to be malamed chus on people, right? Their children are nice and clean on Yom Kippur. Okay, good, they give them a bath before Yom Kippur. So, sandonami, Amar me esmo abdilei. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we say the same thing regarding sandal? Maybe put the sandal on before Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no, sandal lo efshe de meyasma av delay da amashmo. Haiman debay lemitam time de misusa lesay misanev velignei. Who's going to sleep in shoes? In fact, Shmuel says that if you want to taste just a little bit of death, in other words, I know it's a strong statement. Basically, I really highly recommend that you don't wear shoes at night and sleep in shoes at night. I don't know what the concern or consideration is. It sounds like a medical issue. I'm not sure about that. But I am sure, however, that Shmuel is fully against the idea of going to sleep with your shoes on. So the Gemara says therefore when it comes to the wearing of shoes, the parent didn't put it on the child on the day prior. When it comes to bathing and when it comes to anointing, the parent could have done it before Yom Kippur. So right now the Gemara thinks that's the difference between ni'ilas sandal and rechitz and sicha. And now, of course, okay, so we have to ask the question, and so what? Meaning, and so what? It was done before Yom Kippur. It was done on Yom Kippur. So Rashi writes over here. See the Rashi inchi avdele. So Rashi writes over here. Gedolim asulo v'hatora hizira gedolim ala katanim shelo yasul lahem biyadaim dover ha'aser. Now, if your child is engaged in isurim, again we're talking about prichinuch. If your child is engaged in isurim, so a discussion to be have. Of whether or not you have to be mafresh them from Isser. Okay, but, and right now we're assuming that you don't have to be mafresh them from Isser. But be a dayim to connect them to Isser, even pre-chinuch, that you're not allowed to do. Rashi quotes a drasha, it sounds like from Rashi, we're talking about an Isser daraisa. Unclear as to whether or not this is an isser to provide be a dayim, to actively connect them to Isser, whether that's an Isser daraisa or not. Unclear, but that's the concern, that's the consideration over here. Okay, the Gemara says, all this is a wonderful try as a pshat. The Gemara says, I don't like the pshat. V'hamutarm l'chatchila ketani. Go back to the original statement of the Braisa. Tinokos mutarin bekulan. Now, mutarin means that you're allowed to engage in this l'chatchila on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do now is offer a different pshat altogether. The Gemara says, fine. So here we are now, with a second and final pshat of the Braisa. Why is it that on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to bathe and wash and anoint and rub oil into the child, pre-chinuch age, but you're not allowed to put shoes on? So, Allah hanach lav v'ribise gazru b'rabanan, hanach de ribise hu lo gazru b'rabanan. So we're talking now about proper development of a child. Okay, so in order for a child to properly develop, physically, cognitively, they're right, however the Chachmei Yisrael understood it, It is necessary for proper development of the child. And, you gotta do everything within your power to make sure that the child grows into a healthy young man, healthy young woman. So bathing and putting oil in, that's necessary for proper development. Which means that Yom Kippur, again, we're talking about someone who's pre-chinuch, so you do it. Wearing shoes, that's not necessary for proper development. Damar Abai, Amar Le'aim. So Abai quotes his mother. Okay, this is probably one of the most common quotes in Shas in terms of Abai quoting not his biological mother but his foster mother, and she has a lot of advice, and Abai passes it on throughout the Gemara. So Amalei Aim Revisi Dianuka Maya Chamima. So proper development of a child: hot water, umashcha, oil, gadol porta biasa bekutcha. So and now the child gets a little bit older, right? It'd be very helpful, by the way, if Abai gave us the ages in terms of what he's describing over here. But okay, anyway, a child gets a little bit older. So now, diet, eggs, kutach, gadol porta, a little bit older now, taburi mane. Make sure that the child breaks things. I know, sometimes we think to ourselves, we don't want the children to break things. No. Abaye says, you want to raise your child well? Give them things to break. Kiha derava zavin lomani geziza de pachra livnei umetaber lehu. In fact, Rabba would purchase basically earthenware, cracked earthenware jugs, give it to his child, and he says, go to work. And he goes and he breaks it, and that's wonderful for the child's development, right? Child wants to break, good. Give him things to break. Okay. Atkan, we'll stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. First part of today's daf, we dealt with the Garata, the stream that's coming out of the Kodesh Kadashim, progressively getting larger and stronger as the current goes by. So this is prophesied in Yechezkel, in Zechariah, and we went through the various psukim that described it. That was the first part of today's daf. Then we continued regarding various haterim that are allowed on Yom Kippur. Going back to yesterday's discussion, wading through water on Yom Kippur. It's not rechitza because I'm just simply want to get from point A to point B. That's fine. The Gemara wants to know, how about walking through the water on Shabbos, not Yom Kippur, on Shabbos wearing shoes or sandals. On Yom Kippur, you're not wearing shoes and sandals, but on Shabbos you are. Are we worried that maybe the sandals are going to fall off? Shoes are not going to fall off. They're really secure to your foot. Are we worried about the sandals falling off? The Gemara's conclusion was, yeah, it is a concern. And ideally, you should not walk through a river wearing sandals on Shabbos. The Gemara continued on Ayin Chesam and Aleph with those things that are Karav L'Rechitza. It's not Rechitza, but still, it's so close to Rechitza, the Chacham and Bandit. Taking a mud bath on Yom Kippur. That's Karav L'Rechitza. The Chachamim said no. You want to cool yourself in other ways? You can do so. The Gemara gave us a list of other ways to cool yourself down. The using a moist towelette to basically apply to your face on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says you could do that. A distinction to be made between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, there's no Isser Malacha, there's no concern of Schita. On Yom Kippur, there is an Isser Malacha, a concern of Schita. That's why for Yom Kippur, you have to wring it out before Yom Kippur. The Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent regarding being Matir a Mom and a Bechor, and the question of licensing, the question of a Kohen being Matir for another Kohen. For himself, obviously, he can't, but can a Kohen be Matir for another Kohen? Good. And then after the tangent, we come back to a discussion in the Gemara regarding non-leather shoes. Is that okay? The Gemara's answer seems to be a resounding yes, it's okay. I know the practice is, of course, we all wear non-leather shoes, either really comfortable. Okay, good. They're really comfortable. The Gemara says that's fine. Happens to be, I gave you a short version of the Gemara, a much longer version of the Gemara. Ian Gemara would tell us that the Rishonim debate what the Gemara's conclusion actually was. But the halacha is that the conclusion is non-leather shoes is fine. Not all Rishonim are in agreement to that. Okay. And finally, our last discussion for today was for a child pre-chinuch. So the washing and the anointing is okay for a pre-chinuch child, but having him wear shoes, not okay in Yom Kippur. The difference being, the Gemara tried one pshat, but the Gemara eventually landed on the pshat that it's necessary for physical development and whatever, for the development of the child. So you gotta wash the child, you gotta anoint the child, but when it comes to shoes, it's not necessary for the development of the child. And then we retreated to other techniques that are really helpful in terms of proper development of the child.